Beloved Bhagwan, Kyozan asks Sancho's name. Kyozan asks Sancho, what is your name? Sancho said, Ejaku. Kyozan said, Ejaku is my name. Sancho said, my name is Enin. Kyozan laughed heartily. Secho put it like this. Both grasping, both releasing, what fellows? Riding the tiger, marvelous skill. The laughter ends, traceless they go. Infinite pathos to think of them. Bhagwan, what's in a name? And the second question. It was such relief when you had Nishkriya hit me the other night, both for being, quote, right, as well as being, quote, wrong. The relief at finding that right and wrong have no place here lasted until last night, when I managed to label my being intellectual wrong, and the whole silly game started up again. How exquisite it must be to live in a world where there is no right and no wrong.
Manisa, name and form, are the two most important things to be understood. Because we live in the world of name and form, both are illusory, both are invented. Both are mind made, men manufacture. Reality has no name and no form. If this is understood, then this small Zen dialogue will not be difficult to understand. It is very extraordinary of Kyozan to ask Sancho's name. Both are enlightened, awakened people. It is extraordinary because to ask the name is to ask about the illusory and the non-essential. To ask about the name is to ask about the invented, not the existent. You were born without a name. Do you have a name? The name is just given to you. You had never had any name. It is just a label. You can change it any moment you want. It has no substantiality in it. Hence, a great master like Kaozan, asking another master of the same category, Sancho, his name is a very extraordinary dialogue. Kaozan asks Sancho, "What is your name?" Apparently, in this dialogue, you will not be able to find any great philosophy. But that is because of our whole education is intellectual, is based on name and form. We take it for granted that everybody has a name. Kaozan's asking the name signifies in the first place that are you awakened yet? Are still asleep in the world of name and form? Have you realized yet that you are nameless, anonymous? Have you found it that you are no one in particular? A very simple question, but contains immense significance, but only for those who can understand the language of Zen. For others, it is very ordinary. Every day you ask people, "What is your name?" Sancho could have said, "My name is Sancho." Then it would not have been a great dialogue. But Sancho said, "My name? My name is Izaku." Rather than denying that I have no name, because even to deny that I have no name is to accept the reality of I, the namelessness of I. Hence, he could not be caught into the net Kaozan has thrown. This is Zen play. When two masters meet, They ask questions, they answer questions, they provoke each other's lion's roar. Sancho said, "My name is Ijaku." Ijaku is not his name. Ijaku is Kayozan's name. Before he became enlightened, before he was initiated, his name used to be Ijaku. His master, after initiation, gave him the name Kayozan. Sancho did a good play. He said, "My name is Ijaku." A Zen dialogue has to be spontaneous, outrageous, sudden, unexpected. Sancho was saying something which Kayozan would not have expected at all. He would have forgotten his own name long ago. Many years before, when he was initiated, that was his name given by his parents. Hearing Sancho say that, "My name is Ijaku," Kayozan said, "Ijaku? Ijaku is my name." Sancho said, "My name is Inane." Kayozan laughed heartily, because Inane was also Kayozan's name. That was his name in his childhood. A nickname. Ijaku was his official name. Inane was his nickname everybody used in the family, with the friends. Kayozan laughed heartily, because he could see the great perception and insight of Sancho. Sancho has not answered the question about himself at all. Rather than being straight and saying that, "My name is Sancho," would have been wrong. No name is true. All names are fictitious. It happened that at certain year, few years before, America celebrated Lincoln's birthday on a vast scale, perhaps certain time has passed, 200 years or 300 years. In this celebration, one man was chosen to play the part of Abraham Lincoln. From all over America, many people applied who looked a little bit like Lincoln, but one man was simply amazing. Even Lincoln would have been at a difficulty if he has met this fellow. He was more Lincoln than Lincoln himself. He was chosen. It was a 1 year long celebration, and the man has to go in this drama party around the country in all the great cities to play the part of Abraham Lincoln. He learned the part so well, he looked absolutely like Lincoln, but that was not enough. Lincoln had a little stuttering. Once in a while he stuttered. He learned stuttering. It is very difficult to learn. It is difficult if you stutter to learn not to stutter. But to learn stuttering when you don't stutter is even more difficult. But he did well. Lincoln's one leg was a little long than the other, so he limped. And this fellow managed through massage and body work to lengthen his one leg. Through traction. And he finally managed, and he started limping like Lenin. I forgot. Because Lenin was also one leg long and one leg short. That was the only similarity between these two great. For 1 year he played the part every day. And when the year ended, celebration came to finish, he He went home limping, stuttering. Everybody thought that he is joking in the dress which Abraham Lincoln used to have 300 years before. One hour passed, 2 hour passed, then the family people said that now it is enough. Get out of this dress and be yourself. He said, I am myself. I am Abraham Lincoln. They said, don't carry the joke too far. He said, I am not joking. Who told you I am joking? The family was at a loss. They tried to convince him. He said, you can see my leg. You can see my language. You can see my dress. Everything is self-evident that I am Abraham Lincoln. Why you are bothering me? You are not losing anything. They said, we are not losing anything, but it looks crazy. You were just an actor. Have you forgotten? He said, what? Who told you I was an actor? I have been president of America. Then they thought that he has gone cuckoo. They took him to the psychoanalyst. The psychoanalyst also, when he saw Abraham Lincoln entering into his office, he stood. He was so much Abraham Lincoln that even the psychoanalyst forgot that Lincoln has been shot dead 300 years before. Then he realized, and his family came and said that he has been acting. Now it has got into his mind that he is Abraham Lincoln, and we have been trying in every possible way, but he not budges a single inch. So we have brought him to you. The psychoanalyst tried. But it was very difficult. What can you do? The man says, this is strange. I am Abraham Lincoln. Why you are all after me? Everybody has a name. I have a name. My name is Abraham Lincoln. What is wrong in it? I limp, I stutter, I use the language that was used 300 years before. You can measure my height. For 1 year continuously, I have been moving around the country. Nobody has objected. Just few years before, scientists had come with a lie detector mechanism to be used in the course. It is a small mechanism. It is hidden under the chair. The criminal sits on the chair and the magistrate asks him questions. And the lie detector, which is hidden in the chair, goes on making graph, just like cardiogram. As long as he is speaking truthfully, the cardiogram makes a very simple, similar and harmonious graph. The moment he lies, the graph goes off the track. The psychoanalyst thought that it will be good to try that graph on this fellow. He had the machine in his office. First, things are asked in which you cannot lie, so that the graph can become, for example, what time it is in the clock on the wall. Naturally, how can you lie? Everybody is seeing what time it is. The psychoanalyst asks how many fingers you see are in my hand. Naturally, you cannot lie. Simple questions in which it is impossible to lie. So the graph can become harmonious, and then suddenly he asks, what do you think? Is it true? That you are Abraham Lincoln? And he said, of course. And the graph went on without any change. Even the psychoanalyst could not believe his eyes that that man has not only mentally become identified with Abraham Lincoln, it has reached even to his heartbeats. He was dragged from this analyst to that analyst. Finally, he became tired. He said, this is stupid. Why should I be unnecessarily harassed? But the whole village became interested. Everybody was saying to him that you are not Abraham Lincoln, forget all about it, that was just acting. somebody reported to the court that this man is deceiving, he was brought into the court, seeing the situation, he was getting tired. He was put on that detective lie detector mechanism again. And when it was asked, "Who are you?" he said, "I am not Abraham Lincoln. I am tired of it." But the graph said no, he is. The graph did not accept his denial of Abraham Lincoln, because he was only denying intellectually, but deep down he knew who he is. And the graph picks up the very heartbeat, your innermost feel, not what you say, but what you feel. We have all become names. But we were born nameless. And we will die nameless. But such is the deceptive way of the world, that you will live with a name, and even when you die, people will put the name on your grave. There was no such name ever as a reality. It was a fiction. A nameless reality existed. A nameless reality changed its form. But the grave will carry for years as long as it remains a name which represents nobody. Kayozan asking Sancho, "What is your name?" is provoking him. If he says Sancho, then he has not realized the nameless reality. If he says, "I am not Sancho," then the question arises, who you are? You must be somebody. Even in denying, he is accepting somebody-ness. There must be some other name. Just tell exactly what is your name. But Sancho was not to be caught by Kayozan's game. He was in the same perceptivity and clarity. He reverted the whole process. He said, my name is Ijaku. He diverted the whole thing. He got out of the net completely. Kayozan said, Ijaku? Ijaku is my name. Sancho said, perhaps, then my name is Inin. Seeing the situation that it is difficult to get hold of this man, in a wrong statement, and both the statements were wrong, according to anybody, both the statements are wrong. If he has said Sancho, in your eyes, that statement would have been right. But in Zen, things are different. It is a totally different atmosphere of seeing things. Kayozan, feeling that he cannot be caught, he is throwing the net on him, laughed heartily. This laughter accepted that Sancho is as enlightened as Kayozan. Nothing was said, but that laughter is the seal of recognition. Secho remarks, both grasping, both releasing, what follows? Riding the tiger, marvelous skill. The laughter ends, traceless they go. Infinite pathos to think of them. Secho is making a beautiful statement about the dialogue. What great fellows! Provoking each other to fall into a state of ignorance are to make a statement that is not right, and when it could not happen, then there was just laughter. And laughter leaves no trace behind. The laughter ends, traceless they go. Just like laughter we come, and just like laughter we go. Manisha is asking, what is in a name? The whole world. The whole world that you know. But it is all dream stuff. If you remain confined to names, you will never know the reality. Existence is nameless. All names are given by us. There was one man in India. There were only two persons who were called Mahatma. One was Mahatma Gandhi. Another was Mahatma Bhagwan Deen. I never agreed with Mahatma Gandhi. But with Mahatma Bhagwan Deen, I had a great friendship. He was very old and I was too young. But we both felt some synchronicity. So whenever Mahatma Bhagwan Deen used to come to my city, he used to stay in our house, and he was a great scholar, and immensely informed. I have never come across anybody who is so informed about so much rubbish. You ask him anything and he will function almost like Encyclopedia Britannica. I used to go for a morning walk with him. And he will tell to me about every tree. Its name, its Greek name, its Latin name, its Ayurvedic qualities, its medicinal purposes. Its age, first time I tolerated, the next day when he started again, I said, please. Because of your knowledge, you cannot enjoy the walk. These beautiful trees become covered with Latin words, Greek words, Sanskrit roots. And I am not interested to know. It is enough for me that the tree is dancing in the wind and I can hear the song and the joy. And I certainly can say that you cannot hear, you are deaf. You are a great encyclopedia. But you are not a conscious human being. He was surprised, shocked. For For half an hour, he remained silent and then he started again. As he came across a tree, he said, "Look, this is the only tree that exhales oxygen in the night. And inhales oxygen in the day." I said, "My God, I have told you that I am not interested . It is enough for me that the tree is green, full of flowers, and looking so beautiful in the morning sun. The dewdrops are still on the leaves. You destroy the whole beauty. You don't have any aesthetic sense. And you are an old man. You are my grandfather's friend. You are not my friend. The distance of age between me and you is half century. As far as years are concerned, but if you think of consciousness, the difference between me and you is many, many centuries. He said, "You are strange. I wanted to make you more informed. In life, one needs knowledge, information about everything." I said, "Who is going into that life where knowledge is commodity? Where knowledge is sold, purchased, who is going? My interest is not in the world of names. My interest is in the hidden splendors which you are completely forgetting because of your knowledge. You are covered with your knowledge so thick that you cannot see the light, the joy of anything. Your knowledge becomes a china wall." I was thinking he must be angry. But on the contrary, he was a very sincere man. He reported to my grandfather that although he has been insulting me again and again in my morning walk, but I am not angry. I am simply happy that his interest is not in the names, but in the nameless. In 70 years, nobody has told me, and he was respected all over India as a great saint. Nobody has told me that you are wasting your life in accumulating knowledge, and this child has made me aware that I have wasted 70 years. If I live a little more, I will start learning again so that I can have some acquaintance with the nameless, with the formless, with that which is. It happened by chance that the day he died, I was present in Nagpur. He died. I was passing from Chanda to Jabalpur. Nagpur was just in the middle. So I asked the driver to take me to Mahatma Bhagwan Din just for half an hour, and you can take rest. I could not believe when I saw him, he has become absolute skeleton. I have not seen him for almost 5 years. He was dying, but his eyes were showing a tremendous light. He has become only eyes. Everything has become dead, just a skeleton. Looking at me, he said, "It cannot be coincidence that you have reached at the right time. I was waiting because I wanted to thank you before I leave the body. These years have been difficult in dropping knowledge, information, and finding that which is hidden behind names, but you have put me on the right track, and now I can say all names are false and all knowledge may be useful but is not existential, is not true. And I am dying with absolute peace, silence, of which you have been talking again and again. I had to delay because it seemed that he is going to die within few minutes or maybe few hours at the most. Within 5-6 hours, he died. But he died with such peace, with such joy, His face was so blissful. Although his whole body was suffering from many diseases, but he has already got disentangled with the body. He has found himself. You are asking me, Manisha, what is in a name? Nothing. It is just an utilitarian labeling. Otherwise, it will be difficult to find where Manisha is. If I ask somebody, where is that isness, that reality, it will be difficult. It is absolutely useful to have a name. The problem arises when you become the name and forget yourself. If you remember that you are not the name, if you remember that you are not the form, the body, if you remember only that you are a pure consciousness, then there is no harm. Use the body. It is a beautiful mechanism. Use the name. It has its own purpose. Otherwise, the post offices will be in difficulty. All the letters are coming to nameless persons. You will be difficult. Finding your own home, finding your own wife in a crowd where everybody is, but nobody has any name. You may shout, "Hey!" But that is applicable to everybody. Remember, what is utilitarian is not necessarily existential. And what is existential is not necessarily utilitarian. One of my professors used to tell me again and again that what you will do by finding the truth, find something else. Money, power, prestige, respectability, find something else. What you will do with truth? I said, you are right. Truth has no utility. It will not make you more respectable. On the contrary, your truth may take you to the cross. It may make you more condemned. Wherever you are, people will avoid you, that this man has truth, avoid. Truth is very contagious disease. People have their lies, comfortable lies, and when they come to encounter a man of truth, all their lies start falling down. And those lies are their whole life, their earning, their success, their money, their power. The man of truth is avoided, and if he is stubborn, then he has to suffer the fate of Socrates. The society poisoned him, or he has to suffer the fate of Jesus. The society crucified him. In India, we have not crucified Gautam Buddha, because we know better. It is an ancient land. The most ancient land in the world. It has learnt that crucifying does not help. On the contrary, it is creating a trouble. By crucifying Jesus, Christianity was created. If they had contained themselves and tolerated, he was not doing anything. If they had allowed him to talk, there would have been no Christianity. But the crucifixion created Christianity. The crucifixion became the sanctification of the truth of Jesus. India knows better. It crucifies in a very sophisticated way. It starts worshipping. It says to Gautam Buddha, you are God. We will worship you. We will not follow you because we are ordinary human beings. You come as an incarnation of God. We are not of the same category. So it is good for you to say great things. We will hear and we will bring coconuts to offer you. We will make your statue. We will raise temples for you. Nobody thinks that this is another kind of crucifixion, a very sophisticated crucifixion, far more successful, because Hindus accepted Gautam Buddha as a reincarnation of God. But Buddhism disappeared from India. The same Brahmins, the same Hindus, against whom Gautam Buddha was fighting against their Vedas, their Upanishads, fighting against their whole ritual, rather than becoming enemies of Buddha, the same Brahmins, their sophistication is worth understanding. Declared that he is an incarnation of God. What he is saying don't contradict him. Worship him, but don't follow him. Because whoever is going to follow him will fall into hell. Hindu scriptures say that Gautam Buddha is an incarnation of God. He is here just to test your trust in Hinduism. Such cunningness, such sophisticated in Shiv Puran. One of the Hindu scriptures, the story is that God created the world, created heaven, created hell, made the devil to take care of hell. But millions of years passed and nobody came to hell because people were virtuous. They were all going to heaven. The trains towards hell were all going empty. Finally, devil became very irritated. And he reached God and said, you can appoint anybody else as Governor General. I am perfectly disappointed in you. For what you have made me to take care of hell? Nobody comes there, I am sitting alone, not even a single soul to chit-chat with. God said, don't be worried. You go back and I am coming into the world as Gautam Buddha to corrupt people's minds so that they can start falling into hell. As Buddha died, Buddhism disappears. Because who is going to fall into hell? They will worship Gautam Buddha, but they will not follow him. They will make his temples and his statues, and he has more statues than any other man in the whole world. In Arabic, even the name of Buddha has become synonymous with a statue, but. But is a deformation of Buddha. But means a statue. Because there were so many statues all over the world. In China, there are temples with 10,000 statues of Buddha. One temple having 10,000 statues. The whole mountain has been cut into statues. But Hindus proved really cunning. Jews were simple in the sense that they crucified Jesus. And unnecessarily created a calamity for whole humanity. Now half of the world is Christian. And Jews are responsible for it. Because they crucified an innocent young man just out of his mind, talking great things, knowing nothing. Nobody has said in the world, in all these 4 million years humanity has been in existence, nobody has dared to call that I am a son of God, or even a far away cousin. Nobody has seen God himself. People are searching God, and Jesus is declaring that I am the only begotten Son. Forget about God. I will take you into the kingdom of God. My Father's kingdom. Even though these were stupid and nonsense statements, but they don't deserve crucifixion. You could have laughed, you could have enjoyed, you could have entertained yourself. Look at this fellow. He is the only begotten Son of God, sitting on his donkey, followed by a few fools. But there was no need to crucify. I cannot conceive that to crucify this fellow can be justified in any way. He may be wrong, but that does not mean that if somebody is wrong, makes 2 + 2 = 5, does not mean that you have to crucify him. You have to correct him. If somebody says, I am the only begotten Son of God, you have to take care of him. Take him to a psychiatrist, to a hospital, bring him to his senses, crucifixion is not the right thing to do with such a fellow, because that crucifixion will create ripples which you will not be able to control. India has seen many, many people of far greater stranger philosophies declaring themselves as incarnations of God, but India has said perhaps no harm, enjoy the idea. But nobody has been crucified. Just those who believe in language only and don't see the reality behind them make the name too important. Otherwise, name has no importance. Second question, Manisha says, Bhagwan, it was such a relief when you had Niskriya hit me the other night, both for being right as well as being wrong. First, I have to correct you. I have told, but I am a man who forgets things. My memory is not good. So I had told that Niskriya will hit you. Whether you are right or wrong, it does not matter. Because in the world of pure existence, nothing is right and nothing is wrong. Everything simply is. So I had said, but I forgot actually to order Master Niskriya to hit you. So what has not happened yesterday will happen today. What does it matter? Master Niskriya? No, not your peacock feather. Manisha needs a real hit. Stand up. And where is your staff? So now find out some way to hit her. Right. It is true, Manisha. Right and wrong are our ways of religion, morality, they are our own inventions. Otherwise, existence knows no distinction between right and wrong. Right and wrong are our mind distinctions. And because of these distinctions, humanity cannot become one. And has to suffer wars, has to suffer unnecessary misery for example, someone who has been born into the religion of Jainas cannot accept Ramakrishna as a right man because he goes on eating fish. In Bengal, the only food people use is rice and fish. But to the morality of the Jainism, to eat fish, a living being, is immoral and wrong. Jainism cannot accept Muhammad or Jesus or Moses or Krishna for the simple reason because they are all non-vegetarians. The whole world is non-vegetarian. And in fact, Jainas thinking that they are vegetarians is wrong. They are also non-vegetarians. Because trees have life. When you cut a tree, you kill a living being. Whatever you eat has come from something living, growing. It may be wheat. There is no distinction in existence between wheat and fish. Both are living beings of different forms. In the whole world, there is nobody who is really vegetarian. You cannot be because vegetable itself has life of its own. Either you have to be hungry, but then too you are not vegetarian. Jainas are very much angry with me Because as said in their conferences, that even you are not vegetarian. Because everything living it may be cauliflower or cabbage, it may be fish, everything has life. And if you say that if we don't eat and go on a fast, then and when I said that on fast you are eating your own flesh, because where disappears your weight every day, in fast at least 2 pounds per day you lose in the beginning 7 days, then 1 pound per day. Where this flesh is disappearing, you are eating it. Your body needs it. Otherwise, you cannot live. It is your energy. The body needs certain energy to move, to breathe, to walk, to talk. From where that energy is going to come? If you are a car, then you can go to a gas station, but you are a man. We have not yet been able to find some petrol type thing which is lifeless. So you have a gas station and you just order how much gas. And a hole in your head. Even if I move my hand, I am using energy. That much energy is coming from where? From your food, from air, your breathing. If a man goes on fasting, then healthiest man will die in 90 days, because that is about the healthiest man, which is very rare to find. You won't last that long. Healthiest man simply means he has so much flesh accumulated that emergency he can go on using it without eating. That's why women become more fat than men, but not before marriage. After marriage, they have to become a little fatter. They don't have muscles, just pure flesh. very eatable. Because they are going to be mothers. To be a mother means to feed a child 9 months in your womb. The child is supplied by the mother's flesh. So the mother is supporting herself and the child. And she needs some emergency reservoir. So even when a woman is not becoming a mother, the tendency of her body is to collect more flesh. Man is more of a skeleton. Woman has less bones and more flesh. Man has more bones, less flesh. That's why women can fast very easily. For men, it is more difficult. The woman has enough reservoir. She can feed a child for 9 months. She can fast without difficulty. But she is also eating her own flesh. There is no way of being non-vegetarian. But these concepts create difficulty. Jainas think they are the purest people in the world because they are vegetarians. Brahmins think that the purest food is cow milk. And milk is a formation of blood. That's why when you drink milk, you immediately start gaining weight. It is really blood. But according to Hindus, it is the purest food. And those who kill cows to eat are wrong. But what you are doing? You are keeping the cows alive to eat. The difference is not much. Somebody is killing the cow to eat. Somebody is keeping the cow alive to eat. And in fact, except man, no animal in the world, after a certain age, drinks milk. Milk is for very small children of any species, because the small child cannot chew anything hard. You will not find a bull drinking milk from his mother. But you will find a great saint 70 years or 80 years old drinking milk. This is violence, because that milk was for cow's own kids, not for Hindu saints. And more difficulty arises if you understand the chemistry that cow's milk has a different chemistry than the woman's milk. Cow's milk has a different chemistry because it is going to be in the body of a bull. It is more sexual. And to drink cow's milk and then try to be celibate you can see Hindu Mahatmas, they look like bulls and pretend to be celibate. None of them is celibate, because celibacy by itself is impossible. It is as impossible as somebody says that I never urinate. He may not be urinating in public urinals, in public places. He may have his private ways, but in some way, if he is drinking water, then it has to come out of the body. Unless he is Morarji Desai, who recycles it. He has the oldest urine in the world. And just as old wine is precious, he goes on drinking his own urine, the same urine, again and again. It becomes more and more intoxicant. It will be better to drink somebody else's urine. At least it will be fresh. D- drinking one's own continuously, it is so dirty. But you cannot do anything in this country. Such people are thought to be great moralists. They need brain operations. Something has gone cuckoo. And Morarji Bhai is angry with me. Because I had told him face to face that you are the dirtiest person in the world. Everybody has fresh urine and you have 80 years old urine recycling. What kind of nonsense is this? But Hindus drink cow urine and it is thought to be very religious. It's strange. They will not drink the bull's urine. And I have asked them that when you call cow your mother, then why you don't call bull your father? And they have been angry with me. And I was simply saying a simple thing, that if you make such a relationship that cow is your mother, then bull is certainly your father, whether you accept it or not. It is true that the bull is not a very moral father, a very immoral fellow. But whatever is the case, once you accept cow as your mother, you have accepted bull as your father. And do you think this makes you religious, spiritual, or animal? All these distinctions in every country, in every religion, in every race are just man's projections, his own mind, just as your mind becomes silent, there is nothing right, nothing wrong. Everything simply is. Those distinctions of morality simply disappear, and Manisa, as you say, the relief at finding that right and wrong have no place here lasted until last night, when I managed to label my being intellectual wrong and the whole silly game started up again. How exquisite it must be to live in a world where there is no right and no wrong. Don't think that there is some other world. You can live in this world. I have lived in this world, and I don't have any idea of right or wrong. Yes, I have my likings and my dislikings, but that does not have any moral connotations to it. If I don't eat meat, that is my question of liking. If I don't drink wine, that is a question of my liking. Those who drink, that is their liking. My liking does not make me superior to them. I am following my liking, they are following their liking. We are both on the same ground. There is no world somewhere else where right and wrong does not exist. It is your mind here. If you can drop your mind, right and wrong disappears. Then you simply live according to your natural likings. And you don't impose your likings on other people. That is a crime against humanity. Just as you are free to enjoy your liking, everybody else is free to enjoy his liking and to live his life in his own style. Manisa, there is no other world, but there is a possibility of having a different mind, the mind of a meditator. Then this very world is the lotus paradise. Now, few very serious things. Randy Mustower picks up Pali, the prostitute, on the street and asks her, how much? $10. She replies, unless you want it Spanish style, but then it is $10 extra. Randy goes for the Spanish style. So they go up to Polly's room and have a great time. When they are finished, Randy gets dressed and is heading for the door, when he stops and says, well, I really enjoyed that, but tell me what was Spanish about it. My God, says Polly, I nearly forgot. She then stands up on the bed, raises one arm, snaps her fingers and shouts ole. On a full moon evening, Count Dracula walks into a men's store and asks to see some ties. When the sales girl looks into his eyes, she becomes hypnotized. Dracula sinks his sharp teeth into her throat and takes a deep drink. As she wakes up, the girl remembers nothing, and Count Dracula buys a silk tie and leaves the store. The next night, he is back. "Would you like to try something different tonight?" asks the girl innocently. "No," chuckles the vampire. "I want something in exactly the same vein." Jaime Goldberg is on a business trip and finds himself having to use a paid toilet in a public building. He is making himself comfortable when he notices that the toilet paper has run out. Seeing a pair of shoes in the next booth, he calls out, "Excuse me, friend, but do you have any toilet paper in there?" "No," comes the reply. "I am afraid there is not any here either." Jaime pauses for a moment. "Listen," he says, "do you happen to have a newspaper or a magazine with you?" "Sorry," comes the reply, "I don't." Jaime pauses again. "Well," he says, "how about Ronald Reagan's postal stamp?" Becky Goldberg comes home from shopping and is horrified to find Jaime in bed with a beautiful young girl. She is about to storm out of the house when Jaime stops her. "Before you leave," he says, "I want you to hear how all this came about. I saw this young girl looking tired and worn out, so I brought her home and made her a sandwich. She was wearing worn out sandals, so I gave her a pair of your shoes that you never wear because they went out of fashion. She was cold, so I gave her the sweater I gave you for your birthday that you never wear because the color does not suit you. Her jeans were also worn out, so I gave her a pair of yours that were perfectly good until you gained a few pounds." Then as she was about to leave, she stopped and asked, "Is there anything else your wife does not use anymore?" Okay, Manisha.
That's for God.
Now 2 minutes of silence. Close your eyes. Be absolutely still, frozen. Now, relax. Now, come back. Open my eyes.
Yes, Fakul. La 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 la
La la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la